Business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome to 101.9 Chai FM. It is 9 minutes past 12, nearly 10 minutes past 12. Thank you so much once again for joining us on the Avion Money Show. As I said in the intro, that there is no box. When it comes to advertising, we really need to understand that when we see the end product, when something we see catches our attention, or we realize that we've been looking at something subliminally for a long time, and all of a sudden our patterns have changed, or we are interested in that product. So much thought has gone in to make that happen. Marketing, advertising is big, big business, and it's all about getting us to engage with the product. But it all starts with someone or a group of people with a thought process as to how things work, how do we want to manage the process, and ultimately, how do we want it to end? And once we know how we want it to end, we can start working backwards to make sure that every cent is well spent, our effort really generates the result we're looking for, and there's no one better than Tumi Rabbania to speak about it. Tumi is a managing partner of strategy at Legas Delaney. Tumi, welcome to Chai FM.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on Chai.
Good. And Tumi and I were just chatting off air, and I mentioned to her that I am actually broadcasting right now from Larnaca in Cyprus. And I think I saw you go a shade of green there, Tumi.
Completely. I don't know why you didn't arrange this in person. Like I said, I would have volunteered completely to come to Cyprus.
Well, that was obviously bad marketing strategy on my side. You should have done this before. Tumi, ultimately, when it comes to marketing and advertising, it's absolutely everywhere. So, you know, for example, when I go into YouTube now, onto Instagram now, being in Cyprus for the last 48 hours, all of a sudden I'm seeing stuff in Greek. I'm seeing stuff in the local area that's coming up, which I find absolutely intriguing. But when it comes to marketing in South Africa, we've seen that there's a specific way of doing things. Things have changed. Things have shifted. Am I right that marketing in South Africa has its own particular flavor as opposed to marketing elsewhere in the world? Or is that particular to every country?
I think you're right in two ways. In South Africa, we have our own particular flavor. And I think what is interesting about South Africa is also how dynamic it is, because ultimately we have 11 official languages, actually 12 official languages, including sign language. And among those languages, remember the cultural nuances that we are speaking to. I wouldn't call it a challenge as such, but one of the considerations for a piece of business that we are busy now is, what language are you thinking in? Well, what language are you ideating in? Because not all of us are first language English speakers. And you think first in mother tongue, possibly, translate from mother tongue to English. And it's what's seen as the creative output. But the genesis of that thinking is actually in strategy.
That is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, completely, completely. And I think the invitation is to be generally to be dynamic in one's thinking, as opposed to being narrow-minded and not expecting people to assimilate to the brand. I think that's a massive change. And that's a massive change because of social media, digital and tech acceleration. So where one must come from is to remember to be in the lives of consumers and not expect consumers to bend themselves towards what your brand desires. It just doesn't work that way.
Now, Tumi, there's a question that's come up, and I've got a question, but let me answer the listeners' question first. Sharon says, Is it correct that South Africans are very forgiving and are able to laugh at themselves across the spectrum, and therefore advertising can be a little bit more pricky at times? I don't know what she means by pricky, but I suppose we can push the boundaries.
Provocative. Definitely room for provocation. And humor is a massive lever in the creative output. So yes, it's like it's a very South African thing. I do think, though, that we have a very tight regulatory system that we often forget about, which is in the form of the what is called the Broadcasting Complaints Commission, right? And that regulates, how can I say it, the palatability, the acceptability of the messages that are distributed. Just going back to strategy, in strategy, we don't necessarily develop the consumer-facing messaging. We develop the direction and the intent of what consumers ultimately see.
So on that point, is there a new genre? Because I know in my office, we refer to it as Nando's advertising. When we talk to our marketing, we say we want a Nando's type of advert. In other words, we'd rather ask for forgiveness than for permission when it comes to something.
I think there's definitely a flavor. And I think over and above there being a flavor is the realization of user-generated content as demonstrated in the usage of TikTok, right?
Yes.
So consumers will actually say and do and interpret your brand as they feel and share it with the world. So there's an invitation there for relevance and resonance. So speak with me in a way that I understand. Again, the device of humor being a very big thing. Is there a genre? I think that depending on the industry, there's an invitation to loosen up a little bit. Like, seriously, don't be so uptight. I remember in the early days when I started out, it was sacrilege to have a conversation with a creative director about user-generated content. It was like, what? And throw away our brand rules and our brand Bible. And that is being tested all the time.
Let's drill down a little bit more on that. I'm finding that absolutely fascinating, because ultimately what you're saying is that the job of the marketing company, the strategy, the organization, is to understand what the consumer wants, get into the minds of consumer, and then drive the marketing towards that. Have I understood correctly?
Yes, to some degree. And I'll tell you why I'm saying to some degree. That is the very privileged position that people like myself sit in that are based in the advertising agency. But when you think about marketing, think of it as heads and tails. So the one is what we refer to as the client side. They are business objectives, very clear business objectives. You want to make a sale, simple. You want to drive awareness, you want to drive consideration, you want to drive conversion. And those are like typically the metrics that the creative output is measured on. And then the side of advertising is about crafting messaging that is relevant to consumer that must drive some kind of behavior or some kind of response. And sometimes the response is just a warm and fuzzy feeling. Sometimes it's, you know, when you hear that message, while stocks last.
Yes.
Sometimes that's the core job. So it's heads and tails. It's two sides of the same coin.
Tumi, we need to take a break because, again, advertising is what drives the station, and we need to run to the shops quickly. But when we come back, what I want to start looking at is how the budget is actually broken down and how the budget is spent. You know, because ultimately we just see the end product, but there are so many steps behind it. And I think it'd be fascinating to unpack that. So let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 High FM. And before we go back to our client, to our guest, Tumi Rabanya, let me just let you know that Dis-Chem Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage your health risks. Whether you're having your regular wellness checks, such as your blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and most importantly, with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. Better health starts here. To me, advertising's big money. We know that there's some very big agencies. The names have changed over the years. I think the one that sort of got South Africa on the map was a big rivalry between Mercedes and BMW in the years gone by, and with a little mouse on the steering wheel. And then what's it?
Yeah, driving Merck, pleasure.
Yeah, Merck and beats the Benz. Yes. That's where South Africa, and then again Nando's with just the wackiest sort of adverts that really came out. But if we look behind it, let's break down the budget. When a client comes to you, without talking actual rands and cents, how much budget is spent behind the scenes researching, planning, sitting together, going backwards and forwards?
That's such a great question. We often look at budget in, I'm going to call it, in three major chunks, right? So there is the behind the scenes thinking, research, and development. It's how, you know, how long is a piece of string? It can start in the early 100,000s, but in a utopian situation, you can get into the millions. And double-digit millions, especially if you're working across multiple territories. So, for example, in our setup at Legas de Lainey, where we work across multiple territories, where the original Legas de Lainey operation was in the UK, you can imagine, at times, you are assessing the input budget in pounds, and then you convert it to rands, and it's like, whoa, okay, Christmas, oh, Santa Claus, oh, I see what's happening. But that's great. That's in an ideal situation. And then further to that, which is where a lot of the weighting of the budget goes, is towards creative development, what we refer to as the production budget. And that is in creating those beautiful cinematic ads that you get to see. I think, you know, one brand for me that stands out with their cinematic, like, style ads is Nike, right? Very evocative, but also very beautifully put together, very memorable. One example is the one with Caster Semenya here in South Africa, where she's telling her story about not having always been the Caster that we know. But through the narrative of Nike, recognizing talent and performance. So think about that budget, right? Definitely double-digit millions. That's number one. Number two is also casting rights, right? Because you are not getting the superstar for free. You're also paying for that. So that's a big portion of the budgeting process, especially when you want to use a big name. But we think of that as the production budget. Ideal scenario, like the stuff that makes us happy, is definitely double digit millions. We love that because then you can create some really great films and you can create spin-offs. Radio, these days, film doesn't necessarily live on television. It lives online. Cinema is still a thing for effect, for impact, even though you don't have that much cinema traffic anymore. Then there's another portion of budgeting, which is also in the double digit millions, very typically. And there, like, no surprise, it is what you and I experience in the form of channel that has been selected, distribution. So for television, it's determined by a rate card. You buy 30-second slots, a little giveaway of probably my age and experience, but like, I remember a 30-second slot at some point on SABC1 which was, and it still is, by the way, the biggest, the most viewed channel in South Africa, a 30-second slot would be in around 150Ks. So to put together a 60-minuter, for example, I mean, a 60-seconder during that time, during peak time, it was 8 p.m., what we refer to as generations time or soapies time. you needed to be prepared to spend for that. Outdoors become a very big thing. And outdoor, interestingly, spiked in usage post-COVID because people were starting to move around again.
Yes.
And people were moving around after having lost their mobility for a while, right? And you can imagine what happened in the digital space. You know, in the digital space, when we were all under lockdown, we were all on a screen, we were all fixated on one screen or another. So the media distribution or the media buying budget would have completely skyrocketed there as well. In my past life, actually, I worked in mobile, and we saw a spike in mobile advertising as well, and uptake in mobile ads. And mobile ads are not necessarily aesthetically pleasing. Typically, it's those SMSs that drive you crazy.
Yep. Which are being limited these days.
They're being limited, absolutely, by Popia.
Yeah.
But they're not for free. You know what I mean? And we see now a big trend is the uptake in meta advertising formats. So sponsored ads on Instagram, sponsored ads on TikTok, sponsored ads on Facebook, right? LinkedIn also becoming an advertising space. So you can see that the media distribution selection has widened. So again, going back to the question, so there has to be an investment behind the scenes. That's usually the smaller fraction of the investment. The bulk of the investment goes into production as well as distribution.
That's absolutely fascinating. To me, someone's sent through a very long question, hasn't left their name, but just to summarize it, they're basically asking that in South Africa, we still have a very large rural population, but they are very big consumers of things like airtime and certain foodstuffs.
Yes.
Do we market to those people, or do they just have no choice and buy it anyway? I think that's the crux of the matter.
I absolutely love that question. Absolutely love that question. And I'll tell you why. So two perspectives. One, objectively speaking, especially when you're dealing with mass brands, sitting in Joburg, sitting in Bryanston, sitting in Sandton, developing ideas, there's a reality check that you have to have in place that you are not the core consumer. And that's why it's important to remember with whom you are trying to resonate and what matters to them. So absolutely those consumers have choice. And in fact, the impact of their choice or their, I'm going to call it discernment. You know, I worked with a client whose dilemma was in packaging. By modern standards, they needed to adapt their packaging. Something as simple as changing the font style from serif fonts to sans serif fonts, right, impacted their sales. Because a consumer that has limited resources, that's number one, has very low risk appetite. You change one thing in the formula and you run the risk of losing them. So very important, very influential decision makers because they vote with their wallets. That's number one. Number two, I'm going to go against the principles of my discipline. At my core, I am a girl from the rurals of the Northwest, raised in Mafikeng. So there's a part of me, you know, that goes back to my essence, that thing that we were talking about. Do you think in mother tongue, right? What language do you think in? Super important to be respectful and to be aware of where your consumers are coming from and where their headspaces are at, because they vote with their wallets. Even if it's 5 rand in their pocket, you know, they will decide how to split that 5 rand. They will influence, by the way, the certain combinations. Think about KFC, Streetwise 2. Think about the latest, I saw an ad actually yesterday, Chicken Lickin'. They've got some interesting chip roll. Do you know what I mean? Priced at 29 Rand. Think about the design style of those executions where it's like beautiful meal and then bang, price, right? Because price matters. This is a price sensitive consumer, right? So no, they're not stranded. They're not sitting there stranded, you know, like with no choice. And in fact, I think it's incongruent with our values as South Africans to dismiss those consumers. As far as I'm concerned, the mass consumer is probably the most influential consumer because they buy the products that are core to running our households, that raise our children even. So yeah, absolutely.
Now, Tumi, just a quick story again. In my previous life, one of the companies I was involved with was responsible for building all the drinking water plants in Mozambique after the massive floods.
And
we built one in a place called Boani, and we built the plant, was sponsored by the Red Cross. Magnificent state of the art. We had a French South African company put it in, and the end product was this massive green Jojo tank with this big valve at the bottom that you could open. And the day before, or 2 days before we were going to open it to the community, the chief engineer of the Red Cross arrives, and he looks at this thing and he says, like, what have you done?
Sorry, Abhi, said, as you know, when the story gets good, the connection gets a bit shaky. Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you clearly. Sorry, I hope you can hear me.
Okay, glitched a little bit. So you said as you were about to open
the project, the chief engineer of the Red Cross arrived. And I even remember his name. His name was Mr. Later. And I only learned that later means milk in Portuguese after that. But that's how I remember his name. And he said to me, your project is insulting. So I said, what do you mean? This is a multi-million rand project that's been gifted to the people. I said, please explain to me what I've done wrong. I was like, we were speechless. He points to the valve and he says, cattle drink from valves. People drink from taps.
Listen to that.
So I was like, in the middle of nowhere, in this cold sweat, somehow organized a set of taps made to be brought with my partner. And all it had to do be was drilled into the side of the concrete platform and then just connected up with a coupling. It was simple. I remember as we tightened the last coupling, there were five taps, and I turned around and there were rows of people standing behind the taps. I have never been so humbled in my life, just because I, was privileged and had the privilege to be able to gift this to the people. Maybe I lost my humanity for that moment unintentionally and had to be brought back at that moment and just said, things have need to be done correctly. And I suppose that's exactly what you're saying, is that we've constantly got to remember what our roots are. And again, not living in South Africa anymore, one thing we realize about South Africans, no matter where you are in the world, very, very proud of where we come from, very proud of what our country has achieved in so many areas. Yes, very frustrated, but very, very proud. And such a sense of belonging when it comes to different cultures, different religions, all coming together. So we're starting to run out of time, but maybe just, you know, drill down a little bit more for us on that, how the melting pot in South Africa allows for creativity and at the same time, this constant sensitivity to who you're marketing to.
So I think it's one of the privileges as well of strategy in particular, because you have the benefit of research that equips you to understand the intentions, the motivations behind the brief. Then there's the invitation, once you have gone through the research, is what we refer to it as distilling the insight. So what's the tension? What are you solving for? And what is the insight that is going to help you solve that? Now, a truth that we have to acknowledge, especially when you're coming from a relatively privileged background, one of the consequences of that is ignorance, right? You have the option to ignore the nuances of South Africa. And guess what, Avi? Many of us are living in duality. That's how I refer to it. So there's a side of me that switches on my English all the time that, do you know what I mean? That's just, we're used to living like that. And then there's a side of me that is my origins. Now, here's what's special about us. The two coexist within us all the time. You have a first language Afrikaans speaker who code switches between English and Afrikaans, as do I. We sit together, we go through the research, we come to a comprehension around what this research means, and we distill it to an insight, right? And that's the thing about, I guess, how we work in South Africa. The additional layer of that is, unlike Europe, and we get asked this quite often, you know, in European societies, most European societies, the language differences are in itself a barrier, right? So a German speaker and a French speaker feel so distinct and so separate that, like, they find it fascinating when we are able to, like, code switch and, you know, read and listen to each other's languages and comprehend each other. And I think that comprehension is what shows up in the creative output. So again, on the strategy side, the I'll call it part of the discipline is getting to an understanding of South Africa's diversity and what brings us together. As a person, I do not like to aggregate our diversity to like one common, oh, kumbaya, you know. I think that is like, come on, guys, let's not vanillaize ourselves. I think we're so much more dynamic than that, right?
And that's why I wanted to have cameras on, because you could see my expression when you said that. And to me, I just, before we run to the break, I want to pay tribute to the late, great Gulani Gwala, because as a friend of mine for many years, there was something that he taught me. I remember the first time he came to see me, and I looked up and he was standing in the doorway, and anybody who knew him, he was a tall man. He was a big guy. Yeah. And he stood there with a sense of humility. And I was embarrassed. Like, well, I need, like, come in, sit down. There was such a sense of respect, such a sense of confidence within himself that he was able to pay the respect. And when you speak to him and when you get to know him, he's just, he once said to me, I'm just a rural kid. But he was a rural kid who brought that homeliness, that richness into our lives on the radio, on TV, came to the Middle East, did his best in those years together with the Kershaws to try and bring some sort of peace. And it was that humility that he brought as a country kid, so to speak. Yes. That really gave us all the richness. Timmy, let's take a quick break. That was Craig telling us. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. And we have just over 3 minutes left to talk to the incredible Tumi Rabanya. But Tumi, before I speak to you, I just need to let you know that if there are any small business owners out there, you need to listen, because you can boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on 101.9 Chai FM. You get 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 rand.
Wow.
This is stimulus that your business really needs. So all you need to do is email us at info@chaifm.co.za, or you can send a text to 061-895-1019. 061-895-1019. To me, we are out of time, but you are the person that I could speak to endlessly. And I just really want to say, as someone who doesn't live in South Africa anymore, when one has an interview like this, it just reignites in one's passion how special the country is. Maybe just to share with you and the listeners, from my high school and from universities, we've got like a group that all the expats are on. And it is hysterical how some of these people have been out of the country since they left school 30, 40 years ago. And yet they hanker after the simple things from South Africa, the accents, the culture, the sense of humor, just love everything about it. And yet when you go to their homes, they sound like they fell out of Potchefstroom, and their wife and children are absolutely Americans or British or whatever it is. And it's, to me, it's people like you that keep that passion alive and that allow the diversity of South Africa to be our strength, because it brings, as we were just discussing, our history into it. I'm sitting here in Cyprus. When we were kids, the Cypriots were such a part of culture, the continental people, the Greeks, the Italians. They just gave such a flavor. To me, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to wrap up.
Cool. Firstly, I threw my hands up. I got excited. You pay homage to Potchefstroom. That's actually part of my origins, my home. So when I go home now, I was raised in Mafeking, but our family is originally from Potchefstroom. There you go. That's part of the dynamism. but really, I think it's about remembering and never underestimating the power of our dynamism and our ability to travel and be relevant anywhere in the world. I'm learning that more than ever through this role and through my role at Leagas Delaney. It's absolute fun and strategy is worth it.
To me, next time you're traveling, please be in touch. I'd love to meet up with you. Craig, thank you for pushing the buttons. Everybody, thank you for listening. To me, have a great day.
Thank you. It's been fantastic chatting. Have a great day. Bye.